It is 4 o'clock here, so we'll call the meeting to order. Can we get a roll call, please?
Neubauer?
Here.
Friend?
Here.
Bell?
Here.
Povich?
Here.
Dondal?
Here.
We got a full house today. You have the agenda in front of you. Any revisions or changes to the agenda?
I'll move to approve the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor of approving the agenda as written, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Agenda is approved. Moving on to the minutes. Any changes to the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes as written.
Second.
All right. All those in favor of approving the minutes as written signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Same sign. Minutes are approved. Public comments. Any public comments that are not part of the public hearings that we're going to work on today? Does there appear to be any on the room? Is there any on the phone? Okay. Moving on to any new business. Doesn't appear we have any line items for that one. So we'll go into the public hearings. One note, the structure of the public hearings are on the back side of the agenda at the bottom, the order of public hearings. And so we'll start with CUP 2519, the Silo Club Cabins. And take it away, Marcus.
All right. Good evening, board. So this is for the Silo Club, formerly Indian Creek Golf Club. You heard this all last year. Since then, the club has requested a text amendment that ultimately was approved. So this is just kind of another re-up for that. So again, the golf club south of Nevada here. So with what their text amendment was a request for was to add cabins as part of the conditional use permit for golf courses. With that being said, half of this is so that they can do the golf, so they can do the club, the cabins as part of the golf course, along with the second maintenance shop. Their initial plan that you all saw had to. They only applied for one for the zoning permit, so they could just make sure if they actually needed the second one before just jumping to that point. So with that, this is the location. And here is the proposal. So on the left side of the screen, that's the existing maintenance building, that black rectangle. The second maintenance building, which was part of the original, is just right of that. And then the three cabins, again, are further right of the maintenance buildings. That we're just going to get into the standards here. We believe that this has been met with conditions. The proposed new buildings will be screened by the existing maintenance, and then the cabins will be further screened by the two maintenance buildings. And this whole area is going to be landscaped. All of those things are going into place there when the rain stops. We're in transition. Same thing as kind of like compatibility. The transition is being created with those maintenance buildings along with the landscape work that is proposed along the eastern boundary between the golf course and the small subdivision that's there. Regarding traffic, we reached out to the county engineer, didn't have any concerns about this proposed increase as this was part of the original plan, and the little bit of increase of traffic with the cabins would be within reason of that roadway. Parking and loading, all of that has been met. The parking spaces are within our allowable maximums, so we have no concerns there. During signs of lighting, the golf course knows that the requirements for signage in the A1 district and also understands our requirements for any lighting that is placed on the property. We reached out to Story County Conservation just as a double check, even though we know that this area has already been previously disturbed. They had no concerns about, you know, this work being taking place there. So with that, the ones that if we are not meeting, cannot approve, we do find that they are being met. We don't anticipate any increase in hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers. Again, no impacts for congestion. We reach out to the county assessor. No anticipated impacts to any kind of property values in the area. And it's also meets the C2C plan. We're not taking anything out of agriculture production or natural resource areas. This is just an existing area that's already been disturbed. So with that, sent out public notices. We got a couple of phone calls just asking general questions about what it is. And at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, there was a member of the public here that voiced her support of it. And then just had a couple of general questions about the locations of where everything was taking place on the property. I need to go through these points for considerations. These are all the same points that you all had approved the previous one for. So since these ones were so close back to that, and some of these kind of do overlap with each other, we kept all the conditions in there from the original CUP and then just added three more through bold. So per the text amendment that we did earlier this year, they can only have 8 people per cabin for a maximum of 24 people. All the subject plans have to be submitted and approved prior to us issuing any zoning permits. And then there's a pond that's proposed on another parcel that they own before any of that work is completed. They have to apply for all the permits, and they understand that already. So with that, Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of this August 6th at their meeting. And with that, there are your alternatives. If you guys have any questions, I'm here. The property representative is here as well, if need be, but should be able to handle anything you got.
Questions for the board or questions for staff? Did the applicant want to say anything? And any public comments? Well, we will close public comments and we just have to decide what we want to do. I think first we need to determine the findings of fact.
I move that we approve the findings of fact as written for CPU 25-19.
I would second that.
We get a roll call vote, please.
Friend.
Yes.
Excel.
Yes.
Povic.
Yes.
Jondal.
Yes.
Neubauer.
Yes. And we need to decide which alternative we want to do.
I would move that we approve the CUP for the Silo Club cabins and second maintenance building is put forth in case CUP 25-19 with the conditions listed in the screen previous.
I'll second.
We get a roll call vote, please.
Povic.
Yes.
Jondal.
Yes.
Neubauer.
Yes.
Friend.
Yes.
Excel.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to CUP 2514 Hickory Grove Park.
It's okay. I'm going to just stand here so I don't have to turn my back to you or the screen. Actually, the next three conditional use permits that are coming before the Board of Adjustment are for existing county parks that we are bringing this forward as part of the taking steps to establish these as uses that are in compliance with the land development regulations. Mm-hmm. So you'll hear from me on Hickory Grove, and then Leslie will talk about the other two parks. So this is Hickory Grove Park. It is located in Nevada and New Albany townships. It consists of two parcels, a little about 420 acres, zoned A1 agricultural, and it is designated in the C2C plan or Cornerstone the Capstone plan as natural resource area. I think we're all pretty familiar where this is. It's located south of Highway 30, essentially between Nevada and City of Collins, Colo, just south of Highway 30 then. The request is for conditional use permit, again, to establish a county-owned park. It does bring all the code of ordinances requires that all structures owned by public entities have a conditional use permit. That was added to the ordinance after these county parks were, or after this particular county park was established, and because of that, it was a non-conforming use. There are a number of improvements that Story County Conservation have budgeted and have planned for. For county parks, we want to make sure we have everything in order. This is a reiteration, basically, what I just said, but the ordinance does specify that any public building or structure or facility erected and used by any department of the township, county, or city government, including but not limited to public aircraft landing fields and facilities and sanitary landfills, must have a conditional use permit while in the A1 zone district. So just some history that was reiterated or outlined in the staff report, I won't reiterate, but it is a longstanding piece of ground that has been used for public purpose, dating back even to really pre-settlement within Story County. It was in 1960 more formalized as some families came together to establish this. And then I do want to just know it, the popularity has always existed. And from the Story County's website, they note that in its early years, the beach would see over 2,000 swimmers a day, which is just a mind-blowing figure to me. The Ranger Residence also was the administrative offices. This was before McFarland Park was established, so all the operational mechanisms for Story County Conservation were headquartered at Hickory Grove. Continuing on, I won't belabor this. We all know the benefits and the amenities at Hickory Grove. I do want to know several years ago they made a concerted effort to improve the water quality of the park and the lake itself. There were some septic systems upstream as well that through a grant program, Story County were improved to improve the water quality that was coming into the watershed for Hickory Grove Park. Next one. So this is actually the master plan that was established a couple years ago by Story County Conservation. And it does show some additional camping areas to the east of where the current camping sites are, some additional trails. There's a trail that now goes around the entire perimeter of the county park. Lots of different improvements to the site to increase the amenities available for the public. Next one. And this just zooms in a little bit more. You can see the two parcels on this one. It does cross over on the other side of 680th. It's not as intensive on the east side of the road, but it does the park does include those two portions of property. So the surrounding land uses for Hickory Grove are really primarily agricultural or agricultural dwellings. There is some limited residential to the southeast of the park, or south, depending on which piece you're looking at. Also to the north, there is existing mobile home park, as well as some scattered agricultural or residential uses. Excellent. So, you know, the standards for approval, again, Marcus just shared them. You're going to hear them several times, so I'll kind of go through these quickly. First one is compatibility. It's been there. It's established itself as a really a good neighbor to the residents that are there. Some road improvements were done a few years ago to really increase access off of Highway 30. And ongoing improvements are expected just to ensure that park will be viable And it will not become an eyesore or anything to the neighborhood. Transition, again, the park is bound to the northwest and south, and partly the east sides by an existing county road that does form that hard barrier to help with a transition from neighboring property owners. Traffic, we did look at what existing traffic counts are, and I did verify this with the county engineer. Really what you can see from this is the predominance of the traffic, as I said in the opening comments, is they're coming from Highway 30 to the south. There is some limited that comes up over 250th, but I think when the bridge there was closed temporarily, a lot of the traffic patterns that existed prior to that closure rerouted and they learned a new path around. Parking and loading, there are no changes to the existing parking areas. As improvements, though, with the master plan are done, conservation will have to keep in mind that we do have maximum parking ratios and that all those ratios are satisfied. Any lighting that is on the site would need to comply with our regulations, as well as any additional signage to the site that's beyond just the directional wayfinding within the park itself. And then, of course, environmental protection, as I stated, substantial investment was done in this area to improve the water quality of the park or the lake itself, as well as those on-site septic systems to north of the property. I can't remember. I think there were 8 or 9 septic systems that were identified and then replaced or rehabbed. Really, the conditional use permit, we don't expect any negative impact from this on the environment. In fact, it might awaken some people's curiosity of protection, protective nature for prairie native habitat that exists. As was stated, if the board concludes that the standards I just talked about are met, you have to conclude that these are also met as well, or you cannot approve a conditional use permit. They're all met in staff's opinion. So with that, we did send public notice letters on July 25th. We have not received any public commentary at this time or even at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. And on August 6th, the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval of the conditional use permit request without any conditions, and staff recommends that as well. Your alternatives are on the screen, and that is approval as put forth in case number 25-000014. Are there questions?
Someone representing the applicant?
I don't think we do. No.
Any public comments? Any public comments from the phone? You can close the public comments. Or do you have any questions for staff? Or?
No.
Just looking for, then I think we're at the point where we're looking for findings of fact.
Motion to approve the findings of fact as presented.
Second.
Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Jondal?
Yes.
Excel?
Yes.
Hovuk?
Yes.
Neubauer?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes.
I'll motion to approve the Story County Board of Adjustment approves the proposed conditional use permit application put forth in case number CUP25-000014.
A second.
Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Jondal?
Yes.
Hovuk?
Yes.
Excel?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes.
Neubauer?
Yes. Okay, we're ready for the next one. CUP 2515, Dakins Lake.
Why is it not going?
Okay. For the CUP 2515, Dakins Lake Park and Cabin, the applicant is Surrey County Conservation. The location is just north of Fearing. It's owned by, again, Surrey County Conservation. It's in the A1 agricultural district, and the property is designated as a natural resource area on the C2C future land use map. The requested action is a conditional use permit, which will establish or bring into conformance this park according to Chapter 90 of the Code of Ordinance, which requires all structures built by the county to have a CUP. The immediate improvements you cannot see there is a cabin. As far as history, originally the farm hosted a National Soil Conservation Field Day in 1950, and this event brought a lot of people because President Truman gave a speech. To support the event, a lake and access road were built, and those still exist until now. In 1959, the Surrey County Conservation Board was created, and they acquired 17.5 acres in 1960, and this was their first managed park. A major renovation in 2015 added a campground, shelter, playground, wetlands, and a second lake, stocked with fish, thanks to a fundraiser by the City of Fearing. This is the general location of the park, just north of Fearing. Again, this is like just like this is a closer view of the park, just north of Fearing, and like the star is the location of the cabin. And this is a little bit of a closer look at it, and also the in blue is the FEMA floodplain area. The next, we're going to have some of the drawings that conservation sent us on the cabin. So this one shows just the cabin and the parking, which we're going to see again, I think. This one shows the grading permit, the grading plan for the cabin and surrounding areas. And we also got a utility plan. So this is the overall utility plan that shows not only the cabin but surrounding areas. And there is a close-up of that. This is the floor plan for the cabin. As you see, there is the cabin layout and the deck to the east side. Now we're going to go into the standards of approval. First one, compatibility. The cabin aligns with the character of the zoning district and the existing campground. Adding a cabin will enhance the site and may attract more visitors. The adjacent land is also county owned, like to the east, so no negative impact is expected. The cabin design will blend with the natural surroundings, and the longstanding presence of the park shows compatibility with the nearby areas. As far as transition, the cabin meets all A1 district setbacks, and then to the east, there are going to be mature trees that, or are already mature trees that will create a buffer in between the cabin and the lake to the east. To the south, there's a 20-acre lake right south of the cabin, which serves as a natural buffer for the cabin. And then for the park itself, to the south, there's a mausoleum. And then the existing road will separate the park, which already separates the park, from the nearby uses in the City of Fearing. As far as traffic, there's no significant impact on the campground for traffic. There's a loop internal road which supports smooth traffic flow, and at full occupancy, It may generate about 4.8 trips per day, with a 60% average occupancy, about like 3.6 or a maximum of 6, and the expected use throughout the year would be 150 days, including weekends and holidays, and 34 other days. The average of the year is approximately 1.5 trips per day. And here's a little bit more about the traffic. There's a minimal increase to the road system. And as you can see, East 18 is the road right to the south of the park. And we see mostly the traffic in between Highway 65 and 710th Avenue. Most of that traffic is for the school right to the south, the elementary school for Colonesco. As far as parking and loading, there is no changes currently proposed. Future improvements will meet parking ratios. During the cabin construction, they're going to use nearby parking, and they are only adding an ADA compliance stall, which is just west of the cabin. And then once the cabin is built, there'll be a required landscape, one tree per 5 stalls, as always. As far as signs, there already exists signage in the park. There's no new signage proposed. The cabin lighting, we will include exterior fixtures, which are just for the pathways and the parking areas. Lighting will be ADA compliant and meet all the requirements of our regulations. As far as environmental protection, there's no excessive noise, dust, smoke, odor, glare, or other nuisance conditions expected. The project is designated for sustainability and so water impact mitigation. The cabin will be located outside of the floodplain, and Story County Conservation maintains the parcels and has implemented improvements to enhance lake water quality. As far as the criteria for denial of the conditional use permit, they're the same as the first same 5 that Leanne already mentioned. As far as commentary, we didn't receive any comments from the interagency review team. And from the public, we sent notification letters on July 25th to property owners within a quarter mile. We had a couple of calls, but before the planning and zoning meeting, but mainly just inquiring what we were going to do and the timing. Some points of consideration for the CUP: the property is zoned A1 agricultural, and the current uses align with this designation. A conditional use permit is required for public facilities. According to our regulations, Dakins Lake Park has been county-owned since 1960, so about the same time that the county conservation was established. The 103-acre park offers a lot of amenities, and existing structures are a shower house, shelter, vault room, and a storage shed. The 960 square feet cabin will be for up to 6 people to the east of the main campground. Now, for the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting on August 6th, they voted to recommend approval of the conditional use permit for this park. And here are your alternatives, which we recommend alternative 1 to approve the conditional use permit as submitted. And let me know if you have any questions.
The applicant is, again, the same applicant, so the applicant's not here. Are there any public comments? Or on the phone? Okay, we'll close public comments.
Motion to approve the findings and facts as presented.
Second.
Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Jondal?
Bell? Yes.
Povic?
Yes.
Neubauer?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes.
You ready for this? I move that we approve CUP 25-00015 as submitted.
Second.
Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Who seconded it?
I did. Does that help you?
Who's I?
And I don't have my glasses on either, so I'm going with Nathan. Excel?
Yes.
Povic?
Yes.
Jondal?
Yes.
Neubauer?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, moving on to CUP 25-16 Prairie Valley Preserve Park.
Okay, and this next one, again, the applicant is Story County Conservation, and this property location is right next to the new Prairie Valley subdivision. As far as the district, this is R1 Transitional Residential and Greenbelt Conservation. Again, the property is designated as natural resource area on the C2C future land use map, and the city within 2 miles is Gilbert. The requested action is the establishment of the park again, and according to our ordinance, and the immediate improvement is a shelter. And there in that graphic, you can see the shelter in the northeast is marked. As far as history, Prairie Valley Preserve Park was recently constructed and opened earlier this year. The 74-acre park west of Gilbert includes 50 acres of prairie and 20 acres of constructed wetland and 1 mile trail. It's located along the Iowa Creek, provides home for wildlife. So this is started because the developer, Kurt Frederick, collaborated with Story County. He found like that this was like an area that had like good ecological resources and high quality prairie. So that's how it all started. They reach out to Story County Conservation, which was heavily involved in the early planning of the park, which protects fragile ecosystems. And the long-term protections are ensured by the developer and homeowners association. So there's been communication about that. So as far as ecological significance and restoration efforts, this is the first pump drainage wetland in Story County and treats about 2,000 acres of upstream runoff. It improves the quality of the water quality and provides flood control and creates habitat for wildlife and waterfowl. The land contains rare remnant prairie, and I just wanted to emphasize this because it includes this includes the Chapman's bluegrass, which there's only three other sites on the whole state that have this prairie. As far as Story County Conservation, first prescribed data burn is the first burn since pre-European times, and they did that in April of this year, and that resulted in growth of native species. And so the park's remnant Prairie is named Landers Prairie, honoring the prairie expert Jake Landers, which is an ISU professor and leader in identification of prairie remnants and other methods of reconstruction. This park provides wildlife habitat, improves water quality, and is a scenic amenity for the residents of that subdivision. As far as the location of the park, it's just east of Gilbert. And here are like the exact location. And to the north of the of this parcel, if you see that blue, so to the north of that, there is that subdivision. To the south, there is a 53.4 acre, that which is A1 zoned, and that contains a single family dwelling and an accessory building. To the east of that blue part, there's an outlot managed by the HOA, and then several parcels that are zoned R1 used as a single family dwelling. Now to the west is the boundary of Story County with Boone County. As far as the cornerstone to capstone, the property is designated as natural resource area and rural residential area in the C2C land use map. There's here are some goals and principles that the C2C plan include. Land use goal 2 is to preserve and protect and plan around physical characteristics of the land, including floodplains, seeps, slopes, et cetera, just to keep the environment. And then principle 1, they generally discourage development on the natural resource area within these areas, and in some circumstances, where appropriate, development types may enhance the area, recognize and encourage such approaches. For the rural residential area, principle 3, review design and development standards to ensure that conflicts between proposed development and agricultural and natural resources are minimized. As far as principle 7 of that same designated area, mitigates and manages stormwater runoff, soil erosion, and wastewater discharge according to the Iowa DNR and Story County standards. This is the proposed picnic shelter that will be located in the area previously shown. And this is a 3D of that same shelter. And now we move on to the standards of approval. As far as compatibility, the existing and proposed uses on site are consistent with the statement of intent for the Greenbelt Conservation District and the R1 Transitional Residential District. Basically, intended to provide special regulations for resource conservation and lands containing sensitive environmental conditions and promotes water quality and conservation. It protects vegetation, wildlife, and wildlife habitat. For residential, it provides a district for single family detached dwellings between a rural and urban density. For transition, the existing and proposed structures and uses of the parcels provide protection of existing sensitive areas and a transition from the residential uses. As far as traffic, the park is sharing entrance with the subdivision. The entrance features a subdivision entrance monument that promotes an orderly flow of traffic as far as entering and exiting the park and subdivision. The addition of the proposed shelter will not change much, as most of the expected users would be the surrounding residents of like the Prairie Valley subdivision. As far as parking, unloading, the parking area is located right by the entrance of the subdivision, as shown in that graphic. The visitors will park in the designated parking area. We expect that that will happen just for visitors that don't live in the subdivision. It is expected that many users of the facilities will be the residents again of the subdivision, and no changes to the existing parking area are proposed. As far as signs and lighting, any lighting will be required to meet the county's requirements. And as far as signage, it will require a signage permit in conformity with the county requirements. As far as environmental protection, the Story County Conservation maintains the parcels and integrated preservation practices regarding the prairie areas and developed wetlands. So they are going to take care of that. There's no negative impacts to the environment from this conditional use permit. And again, here is the criteria for denial of a conditional use permit are those five criteria. As far as commentaries, we again didn't receive anything from the interagency review team. As far as floodplain management program comments, the property is in a special flood hazard area as defined by FEMA, and floodplain permits were applied for and issued for the wetlands and improvements completed on the site. As far as general public, again, we send those notifications letters on July 25th to the property owners within a quarter mile. And again, we got some calls, but just inquiring what we were gonna do and timeline. Some points of consideration for this CUP, the existing and proposed uses on the site are consistent with the intent of the Greenbelt Conservation in R1 District. CUPs are required for any public buildings or structures or facilities that are added by the county. So, and this CUP will bring the entire parcel into conformance with our regulations. The Prairie Valley Preserve Park is being established this year. And besides the proposed shelter, this park features 20-acre wetland and roughly 50 acres of prairie. This will be the first example in Story County of routing district water into a wetland. So as far as the zoning, the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting in August 6th, they again voted to recommend approval of the conditional use permit. And here are your alternatives. We recommend alternative one to approve as submitted.
Thank you. And Board, any questions for staff?
I've got a question. So when they put these parks, I mean, I think Moore Park is the one I'm thinking of in Ames, that are at the end of a subdivision, they really aren't very widely used by general residents. And so the county's putting a lot of money into something that's just going to one group. I'm not against that. I'm just wondering if there are any plans or thoughts, or are there other ways in and out of the park? I mean, can they create, like, how do you promote this for use more than just this?
Can you go back to the map of the overall? Because I kind of had the same question. That shelter seems really out of place. Is there a trail that connects it? And it looks like it's completely separate parcels and just for these residents to use.
Right. There's a little like walkway that will take you from here. So it's like a nice like walking area, and over here to just see the new wetland. It's actually over here to kind of like promote people to walk this distance and to enjoy the scenery of the prairies in the land. As far as your question, Kelly, or your comment, and I think that this would be a good area, especially with the very rare prairie remnants. It's a good area of study. So I see, let's see, Iowa State students coming and looking at that, or people interested on this kind of a species that are very rare. So yeah.
But there's no other way to get in and out except for with a car, with a vehicle, like subdivision?
Right at, like.
Yeah, is there a bigger one?
So the parking lot for the park is right when you enter the subdivision. So that area right there is actually
the park parking?
Is the park parking.
You have to walk through the subdivision to get
it. Nope. You walk around the subdivision. There's a trail that leads down, and it goes kind of north along 170th, and then it dumps back into the park.
So then to get to this shelter, one would have to.
The shelter's right next to the parking?
Accessibility, there's no.
Yeah,
right there by the parking.
Close to where the shelter is again.
Yeah, in respect to the parking, where is the shelter?
Right next to.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yes, to me this seems like this is a picnic area for the residents of this neighborhood and not beneficial to the county as a whole, but that's not.
It's not our problem. But it was my question.
Yeah, but I think I had the same feelings. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm not on conservation, so. Do they currently have signing up? I saw there was the one sign in there. Is that currently up, or is that proposed?
Yes, just to show where people can park or start where the trail starts.
So does the parking lot and the trail that gets you to the park or to the larger part of the park, does that exist now?
Yes.
How did Story County Conservation end up with this piece that the shelter is going to be on instead of that being another residential parcel? It's just a really strange layout.
I'm not sure any of us have the answer to that question. That was part of the negotiations between the developer and Story County Conservation.
Okay.
So the shelter itself is really not near the conservation area. Am I misunderstanding the plat?
Right. Yeah, it's just next to the parking. That's it. And there's like this little triangle. Let me see. Maybe this one. This little part is all conservation, Story County Conservation.
So the park is in two independent sections. One small section with a parking lot and a shelter.
Yeah.
Trail here that runs along there and dumps in this intersection. This intersection very busy, and so I don't think that there was a way to put in a safe egress to get in right here. It's also all floodplain, and
So there's a lot of issues within that. And so I'm pretty sure that was part of how that conversation all went. They need a place to be able to have people that can park up here, and then they would come down there.
And the wetland that's been created virtually matches what the floodplain boundaries are.
Yeah.
And it is a very active wetland.
And this, well, I mean, from experience of being out here, this whole area that's not actually part of where the subdivision residential lots are, this whole area is very active in wildlife.
Is that a creek to the of the subdivision, or is that the grading?
The highway.
Like where it says Primrose Avenue.
It's Iowa Creek.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
The
to the south, just to the south, down.
Here.
There, east, right? Right?
Oh, over here.
Right. You're right.
The right.
There you go. Right.
That. This? Yeah. That just grading down there.
Existing. It will be, because this is the third. This will be the third and final part of the subdivision.
That's what I want, yeah.
So
okay.
This is all part of the drainage that's going to accommodate this other subdivision. Once these lots are all sold, then in theory, Friedrich will bring this last final plat through to finish this out.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think it, for me, it doesn't necessarily change.
It doesn't affect the CUP. It's just very
questionable. It is curious. Set up. I think Kelly's point's valid. Like certain people may not be clear that this is going to be available to all the public.
I think messaging
ready to go.
It's also on the county website listed as a park. But I think the county, Ferry County Conservation, really saw the value on this land, and so they wanted to work on it and improve it. And since they were going to do that and acquire that anyway, why not open it to the public instead of it being just for the subdivision?
And I don't question that. I guess my concern is irrelevant. Is that you can't see the conservation area. You are surrounded by homes and concrete where they are taking the time to build this. And so it does not seem to me to be an added value in any way, shape, or form to the conservation itself or the wetland itself.
Yeah, I understand. If you actually drive by, which we love to drive, on the east side, like on the county line, you can see the wetland, and then
it's beautiful. Yeah, it looks nice, and it's been fun to watch the change, but I do not see the value in of this in adding to the wetland or the park in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that location was just a given. It was just there to start with, so. It was not made to serve the subdivision. It was just there. So, yeah, why not improve it and why not?
So, as part of approving a CUP, we have to say that it adds some kind of value or use, or not, just that it doesn't hurt anything. Okay.
This is a criteria for denial. So, So unless you see that there's like strong evidence of any of those five, pretty much the CUP should be approved.
Okay.
I'll motion to approve facts as presented.
Second.
Can we get a roll call vote?
Chondal?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes.
Excel? Ovik?
Yes.
Neubauer?
Yes. Could you put the options back up again, if you would?
I'll move to approve the CUP for Prairie Valley Park as put forth in case CUP 2516 as submitted.
Second.
Can we get a vote, please?
Yes.
Chondal?
Yes.
Neubauer?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes.
Excel?
there such a thing as abstaining?
I don't think you have a valid reason.
I don't. Yeah. There's no real reason to vote yes either.
Yeah, I agree.
So a nothing, like I don't exist. I'm trying to remember. Yes. On the record, I'd prefer to abstain.
Other business. About board staff comments.
You will have a meeting next month.
Okay.
You guys had sent out an email about mileage stuff. If we don't care to participate, there's nothing farther that needs to be done.
Right. Let me know. Either way, if you want to, let me know. If you don't want to, let me know. That way we can calculate from your house to our building, and we'll track all that. We do ask that if you do a site visit, at least log the date and maybe just shoot us an email so we can put that in our spreadsheet too. When the state auditors asks what the amounts are for, we can answer them accordingly. And then we'll prepare the claims quarterly and give it to you to sign at a meeting. I did also email the county auditor's office a little bit ago. We may need W-9s, but I don't know that, just because it's income. Also, Zoom is going to be our method of delivery for virtual, at least through the end of the year.
Okay.
I don't know if you noticed that. We switched back. We're still having some issues with Teams.
Okay.
And lesson, do not put, we had to go different voices because having you two here and you two down there, I couldn't tell who was what.
I don't know if anyway.
One of you has to talk like Kermit the Frog.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Both same sign. We are adjourned.